sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
I'm doing dandy, or as Perry Duncan used to say, groovy. So it's a good day. We've got kind of, an interesting topic to discuss this morning, and that is how to choose a realtor. How do you choose your realtor?
Well, for me, I just call Becky Ivins. I mean, that's just what I start to do.
Well, that's a little self-promoting.
Oh.
But that's okay. We can do that. But what if you're not in the central Oklahoma and you need to choose a realtor?
Oh.
Or maybe you are in central Oklahoma and you don't listen to our show, so you don't know how fantabulous we are. But and you need a little bit of criteria on that.
So what questions do you ask, and what things are you looking for, and that's important? And this is one of the questions we always ask someone who says, hey, I need help buying or selling a house. One of the questions we ask them is, what are you looking for in a realtor?
Yes. Well, and before you do anything like that, most people go to Dr. Google, and they Google best realtor, Oklahoma City, best realtor, Oklahoma, something like that. More often than not, our name appears, Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, because it just, we've got a lot of reviews. We continue to get more reviews, and they're great reviews, frankly. I just want to have a group hug with it. All my clients that cared enough to leave a detailed review as to what a realtor's like. But I would start with Google and just put best real estate agent, best realtor, and then the area that you're looking in. Mm-hmm. And don't just go by the reviews. I mean, read them. Just because they've got 4.5 stars or whatever, read the reviews and see if the reason they're great, in someone else's opinion, doesn't matter to you, you're looking for something else.
Yeah, because I've bought a lot of stuff off Amazon that had like 4.8 stars, and I guarantee you those 4.8 stars were purchased. Those were not real clients or customers, because when I got that product, it was not what I ordered.
Right, right. Well, it doesn't hold up to the scrutiny that you're going to put upon that product, right? And that's kind of the same way with realtors. There is a designation that's considered sort of the ultimate designation in real estate. And I look for that. Like we looked for, we had someone say, well, we want to buy a home for $150,000 in Anadarko. Well, we could do that. We could go to Anadarko, but they are not in our multi-list area. There are a lot of homes listed in our multi-list, but the way multi-list works is you have a designated area. In our Oakmar, we call it, Oklahoma City Metropolitan Association of Realtors, our area is 9 counties. And if the property is located within those 9 counties in central Oklahoma, and you're a realtor that belongs to that association of Oakmar, you have to put that in our multi-list. Mm-hmm. Now, you can also put, like say we've got a family member that's got a property at Grand Lake that they want to sell. Well, we can put it in our multi-list. It's not required to be in our multi-list. So looking for the multi-list that they want to, they required to be in, it's not ours. So we're not going to get the bulk of the properties for sale. So I don't think we're going to be able to do a very good job for these folks because we don't have access to all the information. Now, we can go to Zillow, we can go to some realtor.com, that kind of thing. But we need to find a realtor in Anadarko. So what do I do first? I go to the designation CRS, Certified Residential Specialist. Now, to get that designation, you have to have been in business 10 years, active in the business 10 years, and you have to have done a minimum number of transactions. So it's a not just longevity, but you have to have had good production during that period of time. So if you have a CRS, you probably are a cut above other realtors in the area. So I go and I go to the website where these are listed, and I plug in Anadarko, and there's not any. Well, I happen to know that Chickasha is close to Anadarko, so I plug in Chickasha. There were zero.
Really?
Well, that surprised me.
Yeah.
Because there is a good producing realtor in Chickasha that it surprises me that she doesn't have the designation. And then I thought, well, Verdon is exactly between Anadarko and Chickasha. Now, it is just a spot in the road, but there may be a realtor there. My first year out of college, I lived in Chickasha, and I drove to Anadarko 5 days a week to go to work because I was a social worker in Anadarko. So I'm pretty familiar with Caddo County, but I couldn't find anybody. So I called someone from Blanchard, which was the closest place that I could find that had a CRS. And she works the metro area also. But I just asked her, I said, hey, who do I refer to in Anadarko? And she said, I've never found anybody in Anadarko I could refer to. So, but there's this gal in Chickasha that will take care of your client for you. And I'm going, okay, we'll do it that way then. But you look for the designations. Some designations are easy to get. Some are not. Two of the most difficult to get are the CRS and the GRI. And the GRI does not take long to get it. You can get that within a year. But CRS takes a minimum of 10 years. So that's the first thing I do.
Well, if you want to join the conversation and talk about how you find a realtor and what questions you would ask, you can give us a call at 840-1000. That's 405-840-1000 and join the conversation here. When we come back, we'll be talking about more about what to look for in a realtor, and we'll be taking your questions here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move on this Oklahoma Sooners opening day of football. It's very exciting.
Do you know, we have tickets to the football game, which I gave to a young man, Brandon Wright, and his dad, Mike Wright.
Oh, nice.
Out of Chickasha.
Out of Chickasha.
Yeah, and they're going to go enjoy the Tulane game today.
Well, I think it's an exciting time. I'm glad OU, they painted the field, the Tulane colors, because it was supposed to be a home game at Tulane.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, kind of cool thing to do.
The tickets were affordable this week, by the way.
It was a kind of an unexpected game in Norman due to the hurricane. So today we're talking about how to choose a realtor. If you want to join in the conversation, tell us what questions you ask and what are you looking for. And your experiences. Our number is 405-840-1000, 840-1000. Now, Becky, you talked about the CRS designation. Now, is this a designation that you have?
Yes, I have had my CRS for, oh my God. In fact, I checked on that yesterday. 1998 is when I got my CRS, which is Certified Residential Specialist. And I could have gotten it before then, I guess, but once you get it, you do have to pay. You earn that designation, and then it costs you, I think that one's $200 a year that you have to pay to maintain the designation. That does come with some very good continuing education. It's just the best continuing education. And the other designation we talked about so far is the GRI, which stands for Graduate Real Estate
Institute. Yep.
Now, do you have that, Mark?
I do. Okay. I have my GRI.
That's great. You've got another designation, I think, too, don't you?
I have a few. I have R-E-N-E, REEN, which is a residential negotiation expert.
Okay.
And then I have a...
You have the military?
I don't have the military one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one that I will be looking to get. I've got the...
Is it the ABR?
I don't have the ABR. I have the... sale and foreclosure expert.
Ugh.
And
gag.
One that you hate to, always a situation you jump in with people to help them.
And you've got the training on that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Right.
And so when you see a realtor with the letters behind the name, all you got to do is Google, what does this, just put the letters in there and put real estate in your Google search bar, and you're going to find out what that means. And you can even search what does it take to get that designation. Some designations are, in my opinion, a little bit flimsy. They don't take much to get them, but it gives you letters behind your name. So I've learned to put only some of my letters behind my name. The most meaningful ones are there.
Yeah.
One of my most interesting one was the CAPS, which is Certified Aging in Place Specialist. And you have to take three courses, which CAPS 1, CAPS 2, and CAPS 3, and then pass a test. So you actually have to pay attention in class in order to get that. But I found that very useful. Some folks don't want to move when they get older or when they get injured or something like that. And I thought that was a really good designation. And it was through the Home Builders Association. It was not through NAR, National Association of Realtors. It was a Home Builders designation. I've got a couple, I think I actually have three designations through Home Builders.
Really?
Uh-huh. But I've been a member of Home Builders for many years.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of, and they've got great education. I'm actually stroking myself here because the Sales and Marketing Council, I am the one in charge of education. So we have some meaningful education coming up. In fact, if you're a realtor listening, on the 20th of September, we are going to have a Staging to Sell class. And if you're a member of Sales and Marketing Council, it's free. You don't even have to pay for it. And it's a $60 class. They offered at Francis Tuttle Votech, but we'll do it free over at Home Builders for the Sales and Marketing Council. And it's for builders. We'll get CE credit. Realtors get CE credit for that. So
that's I'm looking forward to that and hearing that piece of information. One of the things that I enjoy with you, Becky, is your emphasis on education. You require your team to be very knowledgeable. Because when you become a realtor, it's kind of like when you become a driver of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a 16-year-old to be driving the school bus? Well, they have a driver's license.
Well, you need education at every turn. Mm-hmm. That's something actually that we keep track of. We have a daily tracker where we keep track of what we do each day. And one of the things that we measure is the amount of education we get. So we're looking for continuing education all the time, not just everything that gives us credit, that gives us letters behind our name, but pertinent information that you might not get any credit for, but it's important to know. So,
well, the landscape out there in real estate is continually changing. If you're not learning and evolving and growing with it, then your knowledge becomes stagnant.
So one of the things to look for in a real estate agent is look for someone with letters behind their name.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And ask them, make sure they know what those letters mean.
Another thing that I think of is someone who is a good fit for your personality type. You do not want someone in helping you in real estate that makes you feel like you're being bullied. A lot of realtors, I hear this all the time. They make their own clients feel like they're being bullied. They take so much power, and that's really not the purpose. At least that's not how we approach the job. Mm. We approach it from a social work perspective. It is a service that we provide of helping you find your home or sell your property. And so you need someone that clicks with you personally. If you are an impulsive person and you're going to buy real easily, you might look for someone that could counteract that a little bit and start asking you questions. Well, okay, Janet, you told me that you wanted a big yard, and this has almost no yard. Have you changed your criteria on that? You told me that you had to have 4 bedrooms, and this one has 3. Have you changed your criteria? Or is that 4th bedroom still real important to you? So being able to list what the must-haves are, and if someone starts gravitating toward Mr. Gannon, we've got another conversation going on here. So anyway, if you have another...
The key here is about the questions of having, do you have a realtor who makes statements or ask you questions? And this is a big part of what, Becky, you train us continually on, is as a realtor, I can tell you, here's what I like, here's what you should do, here's that bully tactic of, typically we're kind of high D personalities in the DISC profile, which means we're kind of aggressive.
Kind of dominate the conversation. Kind of,
right. We have an easy time with words. But what we have to train ourselves on is listening. The key is listening.
How many times do I say that in a day? You have to be an active listener.
Yeah.
Listen to your client and ask questions. Do not start preaching to your client. I can do this, I that. No, ask them questions.
Yeah.
You need a good lender, don't you?
So. And here's how to, and so you're answering questions. We'll be back with more of your questions after we come from the break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking about what to look for in a realtor. What questions would you ask in your realtor? It's time for our Word of the Day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. And Becky, our Word of the Day is?
Groovy.
Groovy.
Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
I had 100% confidence that Mike Gannon would have a great song queued up on that one.
Okay,
feeling groovy.
What is groovy? You do kind of need a realtor who's groovy. That describes, someone who's very good at what they do. They're fun and nice looking. All right. So, I hope we fill the bill. So what is a groovy person? Well, commonly, it's slang for it was popular actually during the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And it is pretty much synonymous with excellent or fashionable or amazing.
There you go.
Get an amazing realtor. I will tell you, it's more than just opening a door with your lockbox key and showing a house. You've got to be familiar. We do so much research ahead of time before we go show property. Like if someone says, well, I want to go see this house. They see the sign, they see it online or whatever, and they contact us and say, we want to go see this house. Well, it's not just that house we're going to know about in that neighborhood. We're going to know what the neighborhood sells for. We're going to know the school system that neighborhood sits in. We're going to know whether it's in an HOA, homeowners association, or whether it was the year it was built, the size of it. We're going to know, like if it is a 3,000-square-foot home and it sits in a 2,000-square-foot neighborhood where most everything's 2,000 square feet, we should know that. And we should be able to share that with the client. And the client, that may be exactly what the client's looking for. But if it's not, they can depend on a good, a groovy realtor to know the difference, right? So our groovy...
Brought to you by Robbins Roofing, and their number again is 728-3700, and or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see it there. You know, one of the things that resonates with me within real estate is this kind of premise, and you'll see it all over the place, of, hey, I'm the best realtor, come use me. How great. I'm great. I'm great at this. It's wonderful. I'm so good.
But it's not about you.
It's not about you. It's not the realtor. It's not about the realtor.
The realtor needs to be knowledgeable.
Right.
They need to be current. They need to be active listeners. But that transaction is not about the realtor. That transaction is about you, the client. And it's real important to find a realtor that is about you. Do you know what's really funny is we get a lot of referrals from other real estate agents across the country. In this last month, we got one from Dallas. We got one from Tulsa. That's pretty common. We got one from Washington State. Got one from Missouri. I mean, different parts of the country, and how did they find us? Well, they did look on the CRS website to be sure that I had a CRS, letters after my name, which is an indicator that you've been in business for a while and you've done a good number of in your transactions. Mm-hmm. And they also go to Google and start reading Google reviews. And read what the client says about the realtor. If you just get 5 stars and no comments, what does that really say?
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it to fulfill a wish, right? So, okay, we have Kay from Oklahoma City on the phone. Hello, Kay.
Hi, I have a question. Fur downs in a home.
Yes.
Are people keeping those and maybe making them look nice and then attach the cabinets to them or keeping them to add to the design of a home, or are they taking those out?
It does not add to the design of a home in the current market.
People
okay. are taking them out, but look and see. I mean, poke a hole in it. You're going to have to, like, take a hammer and poke a hole in it to see if there's anything inside that fur down.
Oh, okay.
If it's a two-story, is there a drain line coming from upstairs to downstairs hidden in that fur down somewhere?
Oh.
Are there heating and air conditioning vents, supply or returns in the fur down? Any plumbing pipes? Most often they're not, by the way. Most often they were just put there and it was a style of the day. But you're not going to find that style today. Anytime someone redoes a kitchen or a bathroom, lots of times you'll see a fur down in a bathroom. Fur down is just a little box of sheetrocked area that extends from the ceiling down to where your cabinets start or down to where your mirror starts in the bathroom. Lots of times there'll be a light in a bathroom, like a flat light that shines down right on top of where your sink is, and it's in a fur down. Well, if you're redoing that bathroom, consider taking that fur down out, because it opens up that room so much more. And then you will have the electrics there, so just put a wall-mounted light up.
Okay. And then are they moving away from the open concept a little bit?
Do you know something? We had someone say, I don't like cooking dinner in my living room. So a lot of folks are kind of in the noise. I mean, this is something my family sometimes will say is, could you guys be quiet in the kitchen? We're trying to watch TV. And I'm going, oh, could you guys turn that TV off and come maybe help in the kitchen? We're trying to get it cleaned up.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to, you know, each to his own. But that open floor plan, maybe not totally open, but pretty open floor plan, I don't see that going away anytime soon. People like the openness. Right. Right.
Okay. Well, it's a house in the 60s, the ranch type home. Mm-hmm. It has the formal living dining and then a huge den on the backside. You know, the wall, joining walls is a huge den. Would that, if you kept that closed between the living room and the den, would that be a hindrance to selling?
No, not really. Kind of depends on, but if that wall between the kitchen and the in the kitchen, that floor plan, once you get to the den, you turn right if your garage is on the right, or left if your garage is on the left. And behind the garage is the eating space in the kitchen, and usually the utility room and sometimes a half bath. So you taking the fur down between the over the peninsula, which is what the breakfast bar, and the cake and the cabinets out of there really opens that up. But a lot of people are taking down that wall between the eating space and the den to have a totally open area. Now, you can't do that without putting in a beam most of the time. So don't do the wrong thing there, because you'll end up, especially if you have an upstairs, you just can't start taking out walls without bracing, you know, because those walls usually are something weight of the attic is braced on. So you have to be kind of careful. But that openness is, I see it continuing quite a bit. So.
Okay. Well, if you didn't open between a den and the breakfast area, but it had a 3-foot door already, would that be a hindrance to selling?
I would say open is better than a 3-foot opening.
Okay.
Opening up the whole wall.
Okay.
There is much better.
Okay.
But, yeah. Segmenting rooms is, if it's white, if it's load bearing, leave it in there and open up a window in the wall or something like that. But a big window in the wall, and that way you can use a header for that as opposed to having to, you know, countersink your beam in there.
I see. Okay, so I'll make it like a half wall with a window.
Well, if it's going to be a load bearing wall.
Yes.
Now, the floor plan you're describing,
yes, ma'am,
that often will not be a load-bearing wall. I am very familiar with the floor plan you're describing. I raised my family in Rollingwood, which was built in the 60s. And ranch-style homes and Coronado. And, I mean, the homes all around that area, that 63rd and Meridian area, were built in the 60s. So you're going to have that floor plan a lot. It was popular in the day. And very adaptable to today's living, too, by the way.
Okay, great. Is our peninsulas still in?
Peninsulas are kind of coming back in a little bit. They have to have those for counter space. You can't just take it out and have enough counter space. Most of those homes have an 11-foot wide kitchen and a dinette or whatever you want to call the eating space in the kitchen. And 11 feet is not big enough to put an island in.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need 13 and a half feet is about the smallest you could put even a small island in. Because you got 2 feet gone on each side for your cabinetry, and usually one of those sides has a refrigerator, so that's more like 3 feet gone. And you need 3 feet between the island and the exterior cabinet. So
you've got to have,
you don't want a foot and a half, because then what are you going to do at Thanksgiving? You're not going to fit through that day.
Too many people. Okay.
Thank you very much for your call, Kay. That's interesting.
Thank you, Kay. And we'll be back with more after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I kind of want to maybe close our time with it. We're talking about what to look for in a realtor. And, you know, all the real estate shows on the TV that get watched are all like happy. We're going to go get a new house and, you know, I walk the dogs and she works at the local grocery store and we qualify for $800,000. And
because the interest rates are so low, correct, you could buy a lot of house right now.
But the reality is oftentimes we are walking with people through difficult situations like the death of a family member, like
a divorce,
a loss of a job, a move that has to be happen that they don't really they wouldn't choose to move, but they have to move or have to sell for one reason or another.
Right.
And during those times, the kind of the nature and the expertise of the realtor really, really matters, doesn't it?
It does. And their knowledge of the landscape, their knowledge of their local market. People ask us all the time, well, you know, we live in South Oklahoma City and you're Northwest. Well, any good realtor, their office is in their car to begin with, because you're in your car half the time at least. The other half the time, you are probably searching on your computer for what you're gonna show next.
Right.
But we do work the whole metro, and that's because I've been in business for a very long time, which means that someone that had a house in Bethany decided they wanted to go live in Choctaw. Mm-hmm. So that house needed to be listed, and then they want to go to Norman. And then the Norman folks want to go to Edmond. And so you start getting stretched to the different areas. And I take a lot of pride in knowing our market, different segments of the market. When I first started selling real estate, I sold trees, basically. If you wanted a house in a big tree, mature tree neighborhood, you called Becky, because I knew every little pocket that had the great big stately trees.
Mm-hmm.
Once I ran an ad with me sitting in a tree saying, I sell trees
with
a house nearby, you know.
Yeah.
But the different little pockets of homes, duplexes, even commercial stuff. You've got to know where it is, what it's zoned for, how you can utilize it, how much the HOA is going to cost you, and what are the restrictions on the HOA. I mean, we just listed something in Guthrie that's 2.5 acres on a lake, and I did not want to read those 18 pages of CCRs, of covenants, conditions, and restrictions. But I did, because I need to know what I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just kind of gloss over it and expect to have a good business. So find a conscientious realtor. And if you are looking for a realtor and it's not here, if it's in the metro, please do call us. But if it's outside central Oklahoma, I will help you find a realtor. I know every major metro area across the country, there's like 200 major metro areas, And I know the top dog in every one of those because we collaborate. And maybe it's not Billings, Montana. Maybe it is a little area outside. Well, I'll call my friend in Billings and say, who works that area? Who's the best one? And I will hook you up with that.
And we'll connect. It's the network of Becky Ivins, and I love it. So welcome. Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll be back next week. Becky, I think it's you and I next week.
It is. We're going to talk again.
Thanks for joining us.